Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
You, Dean, once upon a time, we had printers in our homes.
Yes.
To, like, actually print stuff for ourselves.
Yes.
And in our offices.
Yes.
And I feel like we don't do that a lot anymore.
I think I still have one laying around. Can I admit that? Yeah.
I think it's okay to admit it.
I'm pretty sure if I scrummage through.
You're not like a Washington congressman, like, printing out emails to take with you to work, are you? I don't think you're doing that.
No. Yeah, thankfully
you're
no.
You're slightly more tech savvy.
Slightly more tech savvy than that. Yeah, that's right.
But printing's still a big part of business operations.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of industries, especially like retail, hospitality, healthcare, supply chain, where there's receipt printing, label printing, RFID printing is becoming a big thing now.
Big time. Huge.
Because, you know, we've officially decided this is the RFID year.
Yes, it is.
We've talked about it enough.
This is the year of RFID. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's happening. We've staked our claim. Hopefully that doesn't make us look bad at some point.
That, hopefully it ages well, yes.
Well, my point is that not everybody may know this, but we offer a lot of printer supplies and consumables for a lot of our top hardware manufacturers that we distribute, the ones that make all these printer stuff out there.
You know, yeah.
It's not just about the devices themselves.
Yes.
They're only as good as what you put in. I mean,
that's right.
You just set a printer down with nothing in it and well, it's just a box, you know? Fancy box that costs you a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But more importantly, we also have an in-house expert.
Yes, we do.
To help our customers get what they need.
Yep.
And for any job, no matter what it is and whatever kind of printing job needs to be done, that person is Jessica Croth.
Best in the biz.
Exactly. So she's going to be on with us today. She's our consumables manager. We're going to talk about basically, you know, the why and the stuff that comes with printers and why VARs should be selling it. We're going to talk about the risk of going third party and going looking for cheap supplies and non-certified stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what she does in her day to day, you know, what kind of questions she gets, what people come and bug her about and ask her for.
Yes.
Maybe she'll be able to answer some FAQs that we can post somewhere and be like, don't ask just this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
She'd probably appreciate that. And then we'll also get into our custom printing process or custom label and printer quote process.
I'll be darned.
Custom mix stuff.
Can I make a bold claim?
Oh, yeah.
This might be one of the most impactful podcasts that we've done if you're a reseller looking to grow your business in a profitable way.
There you go.
Can I just lay that out there on the table?
I think that's the start of our clip right there.
No pressure on Jess at all. I'm just saying, if you listen up, you're going to get some tips on how to grow your business.
The most important episode of the Tech Connect podcast. Dun, 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 dun. Remember we were talking about thumbnails and being misleading today?
Yes.
There you go. That's our misleading thumbnail. The most important video you'll ever watch today on the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right, as I mentioned, our guest today is Jessica Croth, and we just laid a giant responsibility on her shoulders to deliver the greatest podcast.
Oh, she'll back me. She knows. Don't even get her started on how resellers are missing the boat on some stuff here.
Exactly. Yeah. Jess is our consumables manager, so all things, again, stuff that you shove into a printer is kind of her domain. So, Jess, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hey, tell us a little about yourself, and how did you end up becoming the consumables expert? Because for as long as I've been here, you've been that person that somewhere is popping their head up screaming, don't forget the media, or don't forget the supplies. How did that become your thing?
You know, really, for a long time, we didn't have a person in that position. So it just kind of got handed around, and it was something that was sort of in the background for everybody, I think. And so when I stepped into the role, I started looking at it, and I was that person who said, let's stick stuff in a printer. Please don't ever just do that, John. it couldn't be further from what we should be doing. But that's kind of the thought, right? When you don't know, you go, I just want the thing that goes with this thing, right? What works with this? And let's put it in. Let's go. That's what I need. I don't want to answer any questions. I don't want to talk about it. I just want the thing that goes with it. And really, that thing could be so many things, right? So the more you know and the more you get into this world, you just really start realizing the product breadth that's out there and that everything is really specific. But as overwhelming as that can seem, really, it's fantastic. And it can be very easy if you just get back to the basics of what we do, which is selling, right? We're solution selling. So when you start talking to that end user about, hey, what's your problem? What problem do you have that we're here to solve, right? It's not about selling a printer. It's not about selling a scanner. It's about solving a problem. So let's talk about the root cause of the problem and then piece in everything backwards that's going to create the solution for you. And ta-da, that solution usually starts with the label, not with the printer or anything else. It's the label that's really tying everything together for everyone. So, and then we talk through it. How are you going to use it? What are your expectations? What are we going to put this through on a day-to-day? It's going to stick to this, and then what happens to it, right? How long does it need to last? Where, you know, what are we going to use to scan it? Are we going to scan it from a long distance? Are we going to scan it up close? Is it RFID, right? Then it opens up all kinds of additional questions around that. But it can be really interesting and really fun, I think.
Hey, there you go. See, this is why she's doing this.
Yeah.
Because she, something that most of us might think like, whatever, it's just printer stuff.
Yeah, stuff.
Jess is saying, no, it's interesting and fun.
It
is. That's who you want being the person to help you figure this stuff out. The person that thinks this stuff is cool.
And she's being too modest, by the way. She's been with us. Jess, how long have you been with us? Over 15 years?
May will be 16 years.
There you go. Yeah. She was on our Epson line for a while. Mm-hmm. Got to know the world, I guess, but we've been leaning on her in the media for quite some time.
Very much so.
She knows it all.
She is the expert for a reason, and she's the person that we shovel everybody to for a reason.
Don't start talking substrates and stuff like that, because she'll just go off on a tangent and, you know.
Don't worry, I won't, because I don't even know what you mean.
Oh, there you go.
I do. I almost, you guys started out this conversation and I wanted to interrupt because as John's, you know, ripping on you, like, don't be that guy who prints out his emails, right? And carries them with him. And I think, John, are you kidding me? Some people like to print things still because it makes it easier to read. And really, there have just been some studies out that show that reading comprehension is much higher when you read from paper printed than when you read from an electronic device.
You know, I'm with that. I will say,
labels aren't going anywhere, buddy.
I'm with that because I'm someone who still prefers a physical book over an ebook. I don't mind reading ebooks, but I love a physical book still. For some reason, that's different to me than reading something on my tablet or whatever on my phone. All right. Okay. So let's get into this. Let's start talking about, I refer to this in our show notes, you know, in our cue sheet as word games, because we tend to call this stuff media, but I was searching around on some of our manufacturer sites and bar sites and stuff, and you have some folks that just call it supplies, some folks call it consumables, some folks will specifically say, like, you know, printer paper or printer labels, ink, you know, print heads, all this kind of stuff, whatever. Well, whatever it is, whatever we call it, let's talk about the stuff. And you kind of hinted at some of this already, all the different things you might be asking about and talking about, but what is the stuff that the VARs should be selling with their printers when they're having those conversations, you know, out of the gate and deciding to sell a printer, or to your point, maybe talking about this stuff before they even get into the printer itself. And then also after the hardware sale, or maybe if they're going in and talking to a customer that already has established hardware in place and they want to start again, getting some potential more money out of them by talking to them about these supplies, media, whatever it is. So tell us about that. And maybe, I don't know, what's your preference on the terminology there too?
You know, I don't know that I really have a preference on the terminology, to be honest. I think supplies kind of make the most sense, but consumables as well, like you said, we hear it all in this business. I hear people use sometimes things interchangeably that are not, but at the end of the day, we figure it out, we know what you need, and we can help you in that arena. Sorry, I got sidetracked from what your original question was when you ended on which I prefer.
No, that's all right. Well, I was just asking, like, what do you think VARs should be thinking about when they're when they're talking to customers about selling to them?
The number one thing, I think the magic number is 7, right? So you are going to make 7 times the revenue selling supplies that you are selling that initial piece of hardware.
Ooh, I like
that. I like that magic number seven. Yes.
Money, right? Because money drives everybody. We're here to stay in business. We got to stay in business. We got to make a profit to do that. Supplies are an easy way to do that, right? They're buying over and over, and people think, it's not that much money, right? It's not that much money for supplies up front, especially considering how much you're spending on this beautiful new printer. I can one and done, I'm out the door. Supplies, I have to ask questions. I got to go back with these answers. I got to make sure it's the right thing. But again, if you're asking those questions up front in your sales process, you already know. You know the answer because you know your customer. You know what problem you're solving for them. So it's really not that difficult. The other piece of that is you're closing the door. So you worked hard to get in there, to be considered a trusted source for your end users, right? They're looking to you for a solution to solve their problems. Close that door behind you. When you don't sell the supplies, someone else will. Whether they're going to get them off of Amazon or someplace else on the internet or from John down the street, wherever that may be, you don't want that person in, because the day that they decide that they're also going to sell hardware or that they're going to offer something else, now you're out, right? And your life cycle on a printer is much longer, obviously, than on the time frame that your supplies are going to last. So if I buy that printer from Dean and it lasts 15 years, right? We've seen 30-year-old printers in the industry in some cases, right? That people are still, hey, can I get this spare part for this? Or like, Lord, no one's made that for 17 years. It might be time for an upgrade, right? But I don't remember Dean now. There's turnover at companies, right? So the person who dealt with Dean isn't even there anymore. So the odds of Dean getting that refresh business is very, very small. But if John's been selling me labels every 3 months for the past 15 years, gee, John, can you get me labels? Can you get me a new printer too?
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
By the way, some other things probably need upgrading too. Why don't you come out and take a look around? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is really key, right? So establishing yourself as a thought leader in the space, as a trusted source and supplier for products, and closing that door behind you. And then the icing on the cake is that lucky number seven, right? Keep that revenue stream just rolling in, and you're going to make so much more profit selling supplies than selling the hardware.
Let's dive in there.
Keeps giving.
Oh, yeah. Let's dive in there a little, Jess, because it's good. Seven times revenue. Brilliant. But this is profitable stuff, right? This has a higher margin typically than the equipment sales. Do you even have like just basic, you know, ideas on what the, I mean, is it usually a 20% margin that you're selling that our resellers are then selling to end users? Because I know there's some, obviously there's competition, as you already alluded to, there's the Amazons and blah, blah, blah in the world. But, you know, if you're the trusted advisor, people might pay a little bit more to be, you know, to have that relationship with you. But the margins are healthy, correct?
They are healthy. I can't put a specific number on it because it's really going to vary between products and other factors, but it is much healthier, should be much healthier for you than what you're seeing on your hardware products.
And it's recurring, you know, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. As long as you get line up your suppliers correctly and all that kind of good stuff, man, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Well, you know, this goes back to what we preach this on the show all the time, and it's what we preach as Blue Star as an organization, which is solution selling.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, the printer, I mean, you know, again, you might think of like, all right, well, I'm selling a POS solution, or I'm selling a inventory solution or whatever for a manufacturer. And at some point of that, and a printer might be part of that. And maybe you think that's the part where I'm filling out the solution by including the receipt printer or including the label printer that goes with that. Well, guess what? Those things are only as good, again, as the stuff that you're putting into them that's producing what they actually need. Mm-hmm. The receipts that are going to print out to give to the customer, or the tickets that come out in the back room or whatever to, you know, to put an order together, or the labels that have to go in the boxes in order to get chefs shift everywhere. That is obviously a part of the solution as well. And I mean, to me, if I'm going to think of like a silly analogy here, it would be like if you sold a car and it's got all the best features and the bugs and whistles and the great, you know, new software and the cool tech and everything, but you decide not to put tires on it. So you give it to somebody, like, here, here's your car. Like, well, where's the tires? Well, you got to go over here and buy some tires.
Yeah.
And the over here that's got the tires, they also sell cars too, by the way. You know, back to Jess's point of like, they might swipe that business, rest of that business out from under you too.
Yeah.
To me, this is kind of like, this is the tires. This is the stuff that has to be in there. These things don't work if you don't have some kind of media, if you don't have the print heads, if you don't have whatever it is you need in order to make these things operate. Why wouldn't you sell it? If you're a solution seller, why wouldn't you be selling this stuff as well?
Yeah.
So
for sure,
Jess, you hinted at earlier the idea, like you just mentioned, of if you let someone else take that part of your business, there's a good chance they're going to take the rest of your business. But I know there's other risks involved with going, you know, third party, going to Amazon, getting generic supplies or stuff that's non-certified or just, you know, bulk supply outlets and getting them to supply that stuff. So what's the risk there for VARs and for their end users if they're out just shopping around with whoever can get them a, you know, a roll of receipt paper or some labels? What's the risk they're getting into?
Oh, gosh, John. I mean, to be honest, I get at least one of these per week where somebody says, I bought this online and it's not the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't return. What do I do? Can I put this in this? What should I have bought? So now, as an end user, you're out time, you're out money, maybe because you probably can't return it, and you're back to square one. You have nowhere to go, and again, that's because somebody left that door open and let them in, right? So now they're reaching out to us and reaching out via our resellers and saying, "Hey, what should I have put in this?" So a lot of times they don't know what they really need. They could be getting product that's not what they thought it was, right? It's a little cheaper. It might be cheaper because it's not the same quality of product and because it's not the same product at all. There's a lot of difference between substrates and adhesives. And even the quality and how things are die cut and, you know, was the roll tension correct, right? Or did you get a loose roll of something? And then you have, maybe everything goes well. Maybe it worked out for you. You got it great that time, but there's inconsistency in what you get next time. Or, you know, there's a quality defect in how the roll was prepared. Well, now who do you go back to? Right? When you buy through the channel, you go back to your reseller. Your reseller comes back to us and we work that out for you. We make sure that your customer gets taken care of. And we're only partnering with converters and manufacturer partners that stand behind their product, right? We know that they're making quality products. We know that they're taking all the correct precautions. We know that, you know, as we work through these quality issues, they're making adjustments on their end. And you would not believe actually what goes into press setup and when there's a QA issue, what kind of holds they put on and watches as it goes through production before it ever makes it out to you. And some people think like, oh, there was a quality issue, whatever, give me back my money and we move on. No, they have to take care of that on their end and decide, was it an issue that happened in the converting process or an issue that happened with our raw material supplier? When you're just going to whomever or online, are you getting that? I don't know, right? Do you have a person? Do you know what their methods are? Do you have somebody that you can go to who's trusted to say, hey, help me work through this? Let's talk about the solution. Let's talk about why it's failing and figure out, you know, what the next step is. The support piece is really what becomes so very, very critical. And you don't realize, I guess, until you need it, kind of like a warranty, right? Oh, I don't need the extended warranty until you do. And then it's like, uh-oh, I got to find somebody to help me, right? So I think that just that level of support is really, really crucial. You know exactly what you're getting when you work through the channel.
And think about the negative impact that that has on you as a reseller if you're not involved in the supplies. Like, you know, you do all this work to come up with this great solution. You implement it. You walk out the door. Right? You've left the door open.
Right.
So
I love that analogy.
Now, you know, poor quality consumables are now utilized and it starts to fail the system. You know, yeah, they might blame it on, you know, the quality of the product, but you also know it's going to be in their head. Well, maybe this, I got a janky printer. Maybe that's the quality of what the original system that you don't want that happening.
No.
Right. You don't. So close the door.
Cause you're the tech person
and
you're that person that gave them the tech. And whatever happens to it is kind of on you.
100%. And these manufacturers have designed, you know, they know what they're doing. They design the product and they design the consumables to go in it to certain specifications. Right. And so, you know how people are, they're going to try to go cheap. They're going to try to do whatever and test it. And then it's going to fail. And then ultimately, that's going to kind of look bad, a little bit bad on you. Hey, Jess, what do you think the number is? What percentage of our resellers leave the door open, do you think? Is it a, you know, how many have a consumables discipline or, you know, they're in the game?
Quite a few. I can pull a slip gain for you and tell you any supplies, you've left the door open, right? If you sold a printer this year and you didn't sell supplies with it, you left the door open somewhere, right?
It's a high percentage, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
shockingly
crazy.
High.
Shockingly
the,
high.
The folks that don't want to deal with it. And I'll tell you what, even our ISV partners, right? So even the software guys, if you're selling the POS software, and a lot of them, right, we've heard before that they're like, I don't really care about the hardware. I don't really care about the consumables. I like what I can control. And I developed my software. I can control my software. Those guys are already set up. They already have the SaaS model. They're set up for recurring billing. Why not put the consumables in there? Because it's the perfect recurring revenue piece to kind of round that out for you.
Here, here. And, you know, we talk about how the younger generation's all subscription based and stuff like that. So you have this body of people coming through that are very much in tune with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they would absolutely be, oh, wait, you're just going to sell me a subscription where all these consumables are taken care of. And
I mean, I get,
you know,
trash bags and cleaning stuff sent to my home routinely, you know, like just randomly shows up right in time when I need it. Why wouldn't, I mean, that would be the expectation with something like this.
But you should cut yourself in on that revenue stream.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Again, don't let someone else do it. Don't let an Amazon do it. Don't let some other fly-by-night company do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you mentioned it earlier. You were talking about all the things that could potentially go wrong. And to your point, how that's going to reflect back on the VAR, whether it had anything to do with them or not. Like, I think of like an end user and I think of stuff like, you know, a printer jam. Bad receipts getting printed out, bad labeling. And we know we've talked with enough folks about how that stuff can go horribly bad and how much it can slow down or mess up a business. You know, especially like on the labeling side, when you get into stuff like regulatory practices and you know, the needs of the requirements that big retailers or companies might have about, you know, how something is coded or, you know, the RFID specifications, things like that, that there's all these requirements that if you mess it up, not only are you messing up something within your business, you're potentially messing up on your business with other companies. Mm-hmm. And no one wants that to happen. So again, why take the risk of some kind of generic supply that hasn't been certified, that hasn't been set to work properly in that particular printer? I'm sure you will probably be able to find something that works.
Sure.
But the first time that stuff's not working, you're going to have all these back-end problems that could cause a bigger issue that, again, to your point, at some point probably still gets reflected back to the VAR. Even if they're aware that they internally are the ones that made that decision to buy that stuff, they also might be thinking like, well, why didn't my reseller partner, you know, why didn't they suggest that I not buy that stuff instead also? And then on the label side too, you know, I know we've talked about this before too with on-demand labeling and those small batch jobs. Again, most of these folks that you might be getting this stuff from, they're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to give you custom labels.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to give you stuff on demand.
Right.
And if you know, and obviously, you know, you're hopefully doing that in-house yourself too, but if you have any kind of specific custom needs, and we're going to talk about custom a bit more in a moment, again, you're not going to get that from the generic supplier and the online retailer that's just wanting to ship you a box full
Johnny
of something.
Come lately that's got a box full of stuff in the bag in the trunk.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can destroy a printhead actually pretty quickly using, you know, poor supplies, poor technique. A lot of that, like anything else, is how you care for it, right? So cleaning, making sure that your printhead is clean. A lot of folks don't clean printheads. Sometimes we'll be out and I'll get a receipt and notice, if you ever notice, just even on DT, it'll be spotty.
Right.
With your print. A lot, that could be that the print head is going bad, but a lot of times it's because they just haven't cleaned it.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you have to resist the urge to tell them that? But like, hey, have you cleaned your printhead recently?
Even through the grocery, I watched somebody struggle figuring out which receipt they should put in, right? Because they had the little Catalina printers with the inkjet and then the direct thermal receipt paper as well. And they're like, which one goes where? And I'm like, oh, man.
Just get out of the way.
Don't say anything right? But I'm also the one who goes to the grocery store, right? And as we're opening the freezer and I'm like, look, honey, the tags don't curl. Do you see how they don't? And I'm like, that's really a lot of chemistry goes into that to make sure that the change in humidity doesn't affect it.
Oh, man.
It's like,
good
mom,
stuff.
I just want my mac and cheese. Come on.
Yeah.
I swear I used to be normal. This is what this job has done to me, right? The more you learn, you just become super passionate and then you see it everywhere and you're like, ooh, yeah, that's pretty good. I've seen it done better. But hey, right?
There you go. You know, Elo has the Elo is everywhere campaign. We need to start maybe having like the printer supplies are everywhere.
Yeah, labels,
you know,
are everywhere. To Jess's point, labels are everywhere. They're everywhere.
Labels are everywhere. There you go. I like it. Well, all right. Well, Jess, let's go peek behind the curtain here about your day-to-day routine. And you were just mentioning earlier some of the random calls and emails you'll get of like, oh, hey, I messed something up. I got this. It's not working. So talk to us through that. Maybe give us a little bit of an FAQ of stuff that you are frequently getting requests and questions about that are a routine part of your day. Maybe where we can help some folks out by telling them like, hey, here's how I typically go about answering these questions, or here's why hopefully you don't get yourself in a position to ask me that question at all.
A lot of times questions are, will this fit in that, right? Can I use this product that didn't come from here in this printer? And that just kind of comes down to reading through a spec sheet and understanding that. I'm happy to do that. We're here to answer those questions, but a lot of it can be answered really quickly right there in that section. Please don't send a picture. People love to send me pictures and say, can you get this, right? And it'll be like a random roll of stuff. I'm good. I'm not that good. Right? So like when it just looks like a random roll of labels to me too. If you do have to send something in, please have some sort of frame of reference, right? So if you could lay a ruler next to it would be fantastic. If you can't, even a quarter, a dollar bill, something, a tiny ketchup bottle, I don't know, anything. Because we do get those questions. So just kind of understanding that there are different pieces of that and what we need to know. And we're happy to walk through that. One really great resource that we do have is the custom quote form online. And we should really probably change the name of it because people think, oh, I don't need custom. I just want a stock item. But these are just great overall questions to ask about the application itself, right? So if we know it has things like, oh, this is the width and the length that I want. This is the type of face stock. When we apply the label, it's going to be at X temperature. When we put it into service or we use it, it's going to be at temperature Y. We want that label to last forever, or we want it to last 5 days and then we want to take it off and not have any residue. Things like that, right? And those will help us to kind of guide us into the correct material, the correct adhesive to use for your labeling needs. If there is a stock item that fits that, 100%, I'm always going to push you to the stock item because there's no need to be in a custom, even if you fill out the custom quote form. So that's just a great place to start. Use that, print it out. Our resellers, I suggest always that they print it out, leave it at your desk. And as you go through applications with end users, just read through those and check them off. Hey, did I ask these things? Okay, great. Now I know, you know, when I go to Blue Star, this is exactly what I can give them, and we can match this up and have it be perfect. It's very frustrating for end users when we come back and forth, 5, 6, 7 times to get answers to all the specifics that we need. And unfortunately, those are just things we have to answer, right?
But man, I like that. I like that attitude of, you know, it's not about the custom. It's about, hey, here's the decision tree. Here's the things we need to know from you. Here's the things you should be asking about yourself. And I think that's a baseline that every VAR should have on hand if they're going to sell this stuff of, here's the questions that I need to always make sure I'm asking. Because again, this goes back to what we always talk about in the idea of solution selling, mm-hmm. which is not just someone coming to you and saying, I need a printer. I need a point of sale system. I need a digital signage. I want it to be X, Y, Z, and just give you the most basic question. And you're like, all right, well, here's one I've got. Here's the price of it. No. Mm-hmm. If you're good at what you do, you ask some questions.
Yeah, right.
You start saying like, hey, I've got a lot of options and I'm happy to share some with you. But first, tell me what you're looking to do. What are you attempting to do? And I think especially in this world, and again, going back to the labeling stuff in particular, asking some of those questions would be super beneficial. Oh, like you just mentioned earlier, like the idea of the labels, like labels that can be peeled off and re-adhered or swapped out easily. That is a question. If you get that wrong and you give somebody something that's going to be permanent adhesive and they go and try to do that and realize suddenly, oh, I can't take these off now, that's just going to be a colossal mess for them, for their end user.
Yeah.
That's the kind of question I would hope you've learned to ask them up front and that you're telling us about up front also to get you to the right place. Because sure, if you just give a generic like, oh, I need a printer with some labels and, you know, what do you got? I just need the labels to be, you know, I don't know, you know, 3x4 or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
We can hand them over to you. We have no idea what you're going to do with them, what's going on with them. Tell us that stuff. And you should be asking those questions too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. For sure. Hey, Jess, what are some growth areas, specifically in labeling? Because to me, that world just seems like it's getting so expansive at this point in time. It's, you know, if I go to a restaurant, right, and do the carry out. Now I've got a sticker, you know, a label that's been on the bag. It's got my name. It's got everything in it verified. Maybe it's got some color on it. Is that where you see a lot of growth? Is it in healthcare? Are there like specific industries that you're like, wow, labels are really taking off here?
So definitely RFID, right? So more so on the AIDC side of things, because of the shipping mandates and everything with that. And then also RFID as it pertains to NFC. So with like user experience and couponing, if you think about it in that regard. So a lot of like talking wine labels, remember when that kind of became a big thing and it was like, oh, I can scan this, right? It's interactive, but it's also collecting data about you. Right, when you download that app and when you scan it. So how long from your point of purchase did it take you to consume that? Right? How frequent, what was the frequency of time between when you consumed that and when you bought another one? So collecting marketing details, I think that way, in a big way, and then real-time asset tracking. And that, I think the COVID was a big driver for that too, right? Because we turned all of these retail locations into essentially warehouses at the time. And it became, well, where can I get it, right? I need real-time location services on all of my assets so that I know what I have and I can make sure that that's getting where it needs to get. That is still growing, in a big way, I think. We're also going to see there's some GS1 standards coming down the line. So that's not like right now, but in the next probably 5-ish years, basically GS1 has decided that they will change the barcoding requirement. So everything you buy a can of green beans, it's got a UPC barcode on it, right? And then you have your nutrition facts and everything like that. Well, consumers are changing what they want and what they expect. So now I want to know, right, if there's an outbreak, I want to know where those green beans came from, what farm they were grown on, what lot they were picked in, all of this information. I want to know if they're non-GMO, how close to a GMO farm they are, because now that's a big thing, right? Is it really non-GMO, right? Because it's in the air and everything's kind of commingling. So more consumers are craving this additional detail, right? And label space is premium, especially on prime labels, right? You want to use as much of that for marketing purposes as you can. So the answer, GS1 has said, is to basically put a 2D barcode, like a QR code, on the labels. So I imagine for a while we'll see both UPC codes and the 2D or QR codes on there as well. So you'll have dual printing, right? So there's going to be an uptick in ribbon usage, we expect, over the next 5 years and maybe for a little while beyond that until they kind of formalize and then probably the standard barcode would likely go away. But we'll see kind of how that goes. There is somewhat of a decline, right? Or at least you would think with so much tableside ordering, right? How many people take their receipt, right? Because now a lot of times you can say, no, thanks, I don't want my receipt, and save the printing. But really, as far as I'm concerned, we're not seeing much of a decline around that. And they'll still too, right? Sometimes you'll go and they print it and go, do you want your receipt? No.
Just throw it away.
Just pitch it,
yeah. Okay, well, you could have not printed that.
right. You could have asked me before you hit that button. Right. Sometimes I don't think they have a choice there. It just happens regardless, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a system setting, right? Probably if they had a really good VAR relationship to support them, they could turn that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Could be an on-demand button for that. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they can make that change. But, you know, that we're seeing a big, big increase in linerless as people are getting kind of more eco-sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking to, you know, cut down waste as much as possible. So you're going to see a lot more growth in the linerless area. Primarily, that was more of kind of a point of sale sell there. But I'm seeing it kind of trickle over, and folks are looking for heavier duty adhesive for, you know, more applications outside of the POS realm. So that's something to kind of watch as well.
Good stuff.
Well, you mentioned earlier the custom quote process. Mm. And that, you know, obviously sometimes it can just be a matter of like, hey, we just need to learn more about what you're selling and we might have a stock item. But obviously there's going to be times when we do actually create something custom. And you've been talking a lot about potential use cases that probably do fit into that mold. But do you have any interesting, fun examples of maybe one or two really out there unusual custom requests that we were able to fulfill?
I don't know that I have really anything crazy.
Not even die cut, and you'll in the form of John,
or a label for a rocket ship to space or something.
Yeah.
No, but folks do commonly, you know, want to put them in not the best places, so we have to look at what our best options are there. Sometimes I would say, depending on quantity, right? We have to look at realistically what the cost is going to be for an end user. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting really creative about where we put the label instead of the end user's original picture for that. Right. So originally, oh, well, we want to put this on the outside of our police cruisers and drive them through the desert. And so they're going to get sand spray and they're going to get this and they're going to be out in the hot sun. And you're like, oh, or we could like put them on the inside of the door. Could we put them on the inside of the door? And then when you open it, you could scan it or what? And it was like, oh yeah, we could do that. And now all of a sudden it's very protected and it's not in the UV light and it's not getting all of that spray. So just kind of thinking about things like that. And that goes back to, like you said before, solution selling, right? How are you going to use this? What are you going to do? Let's talk through it. Let's just brainstorm and get creative.
And that's why we have a Jess, so that she can ask those questions.
Yeah, when people go, oh, we'll just put a label on it. We're just going to slap a label over here. It'll be fine. Yeah, that's
slap
fine.
It somewhere. It's all good.
Yeah, nothing to see here. Oh, it didn't work? Oh,
yeah. Because we didn't ask the right questions. All right. We will let Jess wrap us up here in a few moments with a little more explainer about how we help you, you know, make some money.
Yes.
Off of this. If you haven't figured that out by now, we'll distill it down for you.
I thought she was pretty clear in the beginning.
I think so, too.
Seven times, you know.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we need to, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody skips ahead in these episodes straight to the
I understand. For some I understand.
Reason.
Yes, you know, yes.
A limited amount of time to listen. That might happen. Before we do that, though, as always, thank you so much to our sponsors here on the Tech Connect podcast, as well as those who sponsor our Tech Connect program here at Blue Star, which brings in ISVs into our channel and introduces them to all of our fantastic vendors and VAR partners.
Yes.
Of course, if you like the show, we kind of want to hear from you. You know, if you're listening to this and thinking like, man, Jess seems to know her stuff about labels.
Uh-huh.
I guess if you want to send like a request for a label in through us, you can. I don't recommend it. I'll put a link in the show notes for a better place to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if for some reason you just feel like you want to reach out to us to ask that stuff, fine, I'll pass it along. So as always, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe to our channel, leave a comment for us. I'd love to see comments that aren't some weird bot comments.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
If you are listening on your audio podcast of your choice, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Those things are fantastic. I haven't actually looked in a while to see if we got any new ones. It doesn't happen much,
but
I'll check in and see if maybe we got some new ones in there. I'd love to see some of your reviews, maybe we'll even read them on air.
Yeah. Yep.
And as always, if you have ideas for the show, if there are things you want to hear more about, if something Jess mentioned today, like, you know what, I'd like to spend another hour deep diving into that particular part of this.
Yeah, getting into the substrate.
We'll bring Jess back on, and Dean and I will probably leave the room because we're going to have nothing to contribute. And we'll just let Jess talk about substrates for an hour.
Yes.
And fill you in on that stuff. But you got to tell us what you want to hear about. So there's always a link in the show notes to provide that information to us, or you can reach out to us online. You can find us on Blue Star's LinkedIn page. That's is it at Blue Star Inc. or I don't even remember which one is.
Blue Star.
Mm-hmm. Is that Facebook? I don't know.
Oh,
either way, yeah. Facebook, LinkedIn, we're out there.
You'll find us. Yeah.
Or you can always email us directly, techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right, let's wrap things up here, starting with value to the VAR. So, like I said, Jess, I feel like if we haven't made the case by now that there's recurring revenue to be had here, then I think you must have been like listening, you know, barely listening to this episode. Or maybe listening on like 2x speed or something and just not paying much attention.
Maybe they got distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were answering a quick email. They're back now.
That's true.
Yeah,
that could be it. So help us distill this down a little bit, Jess. You know, how does Blue Star, how are you really? Because let's be honest, this is your baby more than anybody. How are you helping out VARs and making it easier for them to generate this kind of steady recurring revenue from their customer and printer needs? I think we've established the reason why they should be doing it.
Yeah.
But how are we making it even easier for them to do so?
So if you go onto our website, onto the consumables page, you can find the custom quote form there. That'll give you a kind of high level list to walk through with your customers to talk about the solution and exactly what we need to quote for you. Get that over to us and we will turn that into a quote or a stock item for you and get back to you with pricing. So I think that's the easiest way. If you have, you know, something outstanding, you can bring it to our media team and we'll look through it. We'll make suggestions for you on what we think the right substrate and adhesive would be for you to use. And we can kind of build out the solution from there. We're also happy to get on calls with you if needed to sit down with your end user and kind of go more in depth about what the problem that they're facing is and how we can help solve it.
That's the most important thing right there. I mean, don't be anxious about this conversation. And if you are, we can help out. We have resources available that can help navigate this, years and years and years of experience that you can bring to bear on that conversation.
Yep.
And once you start closing the door, maybe we can help you close that door and get
that
revenue.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Like that's, you know, what Jess said at the beginning, the idea of getting that door closed, not leaving it wide open. I think, too, this is just a smart way to stay in touch with your customers.
I love that part of it.
I mean, you know, if you have a customer that maybe the only time they reach out to you is when they have a big hardware need and maybe you're, you know, one of those folks is just like, hey, they buy some new printers from you like once every couple, 2 or 3 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, again, longer. You know, some of these last forever. It's a nice, great way. Jess, you said it earlier of like you might have turnover in your company, but imagine if every 6 months there's someone from your company that is on a loop to routinely reach out and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm your such and such, you know, provider from X company.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're using some Epson printers you got from us. I know you're using some Star printers you got from us. Hey, what do you guys need? You know, do you need any supplies? How's the printing going?
Or if you're trying to get
new projects,
trying to get into the managed service game, this is a perfect way of getting into it, right? I mean, you can go out there and do the service on them, clean the print.
Yeah. You don't have to be the one that sold them the product. You could be that person that's going in through someone's unclosed
door. Could be. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Close some doors.
Close them back out
that you
it.
Didn't open in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly. You sneak in the back, close the door behind you. And the next thing you know, they come back and they're like, no, I'm here now.
Yeah. We're good.
I live here now.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
All right. Let's wrap up, as always, with What's Tech Connecting with You. This is where we get to talk about something in the world of business, innovation, technology, science, discoveries, just something we just feel like chatting about today.
Yes.
So, Jess, what's going on in your world right now? What's Tech Connecting with You?
So, I think lately for me, I've been really thinking and digging more deeply into AI like everyone else, right? But just from a research standpoint, right? So as you're researching certain topics, it can be really, really difficult to discern who wrote this, right? Are they truly agnostic? Are they reputable? Or who's working the slant, right? So if you can't trace that back now, as AI pieces get more and more prevalent, right? It's going out, it's putting together all of these things, and you get 90% truth, 10% inaccuracy, right? And then now the next iteration becomes 80%, 20, 70, 30. And then what happens when we get to like 10, 90, right? So I just kind of think, you know, think about that and what the world is going to look like in the next 5 years, probably. I would say 5 to 10, but, you know, it's probably more like 2 to 5, as quickly as things are, you know, rapidly evolving, and how we navigate that and who are going to be the gatekeepers out there that say, well, you know, it came from these 15 resources and here are your 15 resources. And of these, you know, this we know is accurate and has been fact checked and this hasn't been, and what that looks like. So Cordy and I actually talked about it a few weeks back, and he said, oh, I've heard people talking about using blockchain for that. I haven't got that far into it, but to me, it's pretty interesting that that's, you know, something that's being talked about, because obviously other people have the same fears.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Yeah.
I think, you know, like I've used some of these tools sometimes, like for research, for marketing campaigns and stuff, for things that I'm writing. And to your point, if you don't ask, you know, for a citation, it doesn't usually give you something like that. You can ask for citations and, you know, and try to go down the rabbit hole of like, where did you get this information and how accurate is it? But again, it's unlike, you know, and again, I love what this stuff can do. And I love how beneficial and useful it can be for this type of work.
Mm-hmm.
But to that point, like when I had to Google for stuff before in the past, you know, when I had to use a search engine to find, you know, articles and stories and stats about stuff, at least when I did that stuff, I had to go to a specific site and read up on it there. I knew who that site was, if they were reputable or not, if there was a slant to their to their information, how recent that info was too. Like, you know, is this data, is this data from last year or 20 years ago that's going to be grossly out of date? And unfortunately, I think sometimes when you do that kind of stuff in AI, if you're, again, unless you are asking for that information, it's trying to give you the simplest answer possible and not give you that kind of stuff. And you, again, you run that risk of going out there and spreading info that's may not be entirely on the level.
Yeah.
Or you back it up.
There's a little hallucination going on, right? Is that what they call it? AI hallucination when they just make stuff up.
Yeah.
We're going to
make
up 10% of this. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a little scary too.
Crazy.
Well, even like reviews, right? So have you noticed now Amazon is using like the AI generation of, right?
Yep.
The culmination of the reviews. But it's like, are all these reviews real though? So I notice even shopping for a new doctor lately, right? So I'm looking at the reviews of all these different primary care physicians and going through. But then I fact check, right? Because some people are like crazy. So I want to see, Dean Reverman, if you bashed this doctor, like, what else have you reviewed? And then I'll look at you and I can see your other reviews and know, like, oh no, Dean, like, Dean is like to everybody, right? Or so if I want to trust your recommendation or your anti-recommendation, I guess, then I want to see that, like, you've been like, service was like, okay, I gave it 3 stars and then some 5 stars and some 1 stars before I, you know, having no idea who Dean is, before I trust what you've recommended. And maybe not everybody does that, but if it's a big decision, I try to be, you know, a little more, and AI sort of takes that away, right? By saying everyone's is equal and we'll just put them all in and here's what people say about it.
I hope that the skepticism we've all learned to build into our browsing on the internet over the years, I hope that translates into the AI. I hope this isn't something where people just walk into like, well, the AI said it must be true.
Exactly. You know, like, the old cliche.
Yeah. I would assume if we understand like, well, this is just an extension of what you were already skeptical about before, you should still be skeptical about
that's
it.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
Or at least apply a little bit of a critical eye.
John.
Well, this is true.
Hang out. I was around my niece and nephew weekend and listening to them, and I'm like, oh God, guys, like, that doesn't make sense. No. Well, you know, look, let me show you this on TikTok. And I'm like, oh no, that's okay.
Oh, good stuff.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Who knows where that's going to go?
Who knows?
All right, Dean, what's Tech Connect with you?
Do you have a tail?
I don't.
Jess, do you have a tail?
Not even a vestigial one.
What does the fact that you don't have a tail and the gene called TBX have in common?
I'm assuming that is the gene for tails.
There
in some
you go.
Way?
Researchers have pinpointed a key mutation which potentially leads to the loss of tails in humans and primate relatives roughly about 25 million years ago, by the way, is when we, I guess in
the
whatever form we were then, lost our tails. So published in the Journal of Nature, the New York University of Grossman School of Medicine actually did this where they compared the DNA tailless apes and humans to that of tailed monkeys. Mm-hmm. It found that insertion of a DNA shared by apes and humans, but missing in monkeys. When the research team engineered a series of mice to examine whether the insertion in a gene called TBXT affected their tails, they found that a variety of tails affect, including some mice were born without tails. So anyway, there you go. They're using some genetic slicing and dicing, figuring out where it is in the DNA helix, double helix, or whatever.
So as people,
TBXT is exactly where you lost your tail.
Okay, so as people decide to start using genetic manipulation,
yes,
in order to,
you could put it back in.
Yeah, are we gonna do that? Well, you see this like this some of those sci-fi shows sometimes where people like in the future have like started like splicing their DNA with animals or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
really? That would be weird.
Yeah, like
yeah.
I wonder if that's something that could happen someday. Someone says,
well, if
"Hey,
you're gonna start jumping from
tails again."
It might be useful.
I mean, a nice prehensile tail that could like you know pick stuff up and be basically like a third hand kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, that wouldn't be.
Or if you're jumping
terrible,
from tree to tree and need a little balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't do a lot of jumping from tree to tree, but you know, yeah.
But if you did.
if I did.
Yes.
That would come in handy.
It would come in a lot of handy. Well, there you go. So what's tech connecting with you?
All right. What's tech connecting with me is this little thing right here.
This is my AirPods. Yes.
Now.
Oh, these are new.
And they don't look much different than my last AirPods. The reason why I'm excited about these, though, is I decided my last pair were starting to get a little rough around the edges because I use my AirPods a lot.
Okay.
I'm always listening to.
You're a heavy user.
I'm always listening to a lot, mostly a lot of podcasts.
Is this daily?
Oh, yeah.
It's
like,
daily.
We're talking like I'm probably putting at least a couple hours worth of listening time
per
every
day.
Day.
Okay. You're a heavy user. Then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, whether I'm, you know, I don't know if I'm doing chores, if I'm exercising, you know, anything that's mundane where, you know, if no one else is around, I've usually got them in to listen to stuff. And it is mostly podcasts, but occasionally music too. Well, I told my wife, you know, she was asking for something for my birthday of a suggestion of what to get me. And I was like, well, I'm like, you know, I could potentially use some new AirPods. Like these are starting to get a little old and rough. Mm-hmm. So she got me the latest and greatest. And what I didn't realize is that there was a new generation 2 of the standard AirPods Pro. So we're not talking the Max over the ear ones.
Okay.
But just the AirPods Pro. There's a new generation of them. And I didn't expect these things to be as amped up as they are.
Oh.
So the new generation has really amped up the noise cancellation for one thing.
I was just about to go there. I hear they're noise canceling.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was, I always thought the old ones had good noise cancellation, but now you put them in and it's just like just silence practically.
Oh,
around.
Really?
I mean, you can still hear some loud stuff. I'm really interested to try them out on an airplane and find out how much that has damped down on them.
Can you hear Miles in the background screaming for you?
Not entirely, which is a nice new feature.
Jess
though.
Might want this. Does it have a kid canceling feature?
It can be toning stuff out, like really toning
Hello,
it out.
Hello, birthday.
There you go. But it does have an adaptive feature now, an adaptive noise cancellation feature built in. So whereas before it was just off or on, now there's like a middle tier where it's still got the noise cancellation, but it's not quite as, you know, quite as abrupt and not quite as much everything silenced.
Yeah.
And it will adjust based on your surroundings to some extent.
Yeah, it's
got like
listening
extra
to like
little,
hum in the background.
Yeah,
it's going to cancel that out. And then
so
it's going to listen to
me. When I most clearly noticed this was one day I think I had just dropped off Miles at the bus stop and I was on my way home and I kind of stuck him back in as I'm walking down the sidewalk and everything was pretty much quiet. But there, a big truck came driving past and the sound of that truck suddenly became much louder in my left ear as I was passing by. Basically, it's its way of kind of like, hey, you should probably know that this thing's here, you know, because I don't want to walk in the middle of a road and get hit by a truck.
Gotcha.
So that stuff's good. I will say also, just the sound quality in general is really through the roof compared to where they
nice.
Were.
Nice. Okay.
I have started listening to music more than I ever have before because the music sounds so much better on these now
I'll
than
be
they
damned.
Ever did.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The last cool new feature, conversational awareness. So if you have them on and you have this turned on, and if someone's trying to converse with you and you start talking back, it will dim the audio and even potentially pause it entirely while you're talking. And then as soon as you're quiet for a couple moments, it'll turn it back on again and let you pick up from there.
I like it.
Lots of cool new features. I'm very impressed with these. My wife was like, I didn't realize I was getting you something that cool. I just got you the newest one. I'm like, well, you did good, honey. So I appreciate it. So AirPods Pro Gen 2.
Okay.
That is what's tech connecting with me.
There it is.
All right, folks. It is time for us to unplug. Jess, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jess.
Appreciate having you on the show. Seriously, look in the show notes. You'll find the links to, to go request, those quote custom quotes.
Yep.
And get some more details about our media program. Don't hesitate to reach out to Jess. I won't throw her email address out in there, but you can find it. Trust me. She's more than happy to help you out there.
Absolutely.
Okay. So until next time, folks, go figure out if you want to grow a new tail, check your sources on AI and, listen to some music and drown out the kids, I guess, if you want to. And as always, folks, please stay connected. Technic Podcast is brought to you by Elo and the 7-inch Elo Pay integrated payment POS system.
Nice.
Elo Pay packs all the power you need to run your point of sale, complete with a 7-inch HD touch display, integrated payment, Android 12 OS, and Qualcomm SD660 processor. The compact enterprise grade terminal delivers the modularity that merchants require. Now you can dock this thing to a printer stand. You can place it on the counter. You can integrate it into Elo's Z70 stands. You get lots of options here for this particular.
Everywhere, and that's what you want it to do, right?
Elo Pay offers comprehensive payment services that enable merchants to process transactions with confidence.
Yes,
with access to multiple payment applications, end-to-end encryption, secure tokenization, robust terminal management services, and easy-to-use APIs for quick integration, merchants can get started quickly and securely, allowing their customers to do my favorite TikTok dance: dip, tap, and swipe.
Dip, tap, and swipe.
Physical cards or contactless payments. Elo View device management, Essential Edge enterprise support, and Elo Care protection, the Elo Pay 7-inch POS system is ready to deliver on your customers' needs. Contact the Blue Star Elo team to learn more.